All right, good morning, everybody. It's really great to be with you this morning. It's been about 3 years, I think, since I was last year. And I think we were in Sunningdale last year, or we're Melkbos, we were in Durbanville, I can't remember where, and we're back here, which is super cool. Just great to be with you. And in Fijian style, bula bula, as they would say in Fiji, so this is a Fijian style shirt. Was recently in Fiji and had an amazing time there. And bula, you say bula when you say hello, you say bula when you say goodbye, you say bula if you say cool, you say bula and you're safe. So bula bula. Bula. Yeah, it was so cool to go there. Never ever thought I'd be in a country like that and just actually minister to people who 200 years ago, they ate the first missionaries that arrived there. I think 3 or 4 Methodist missionaries went to share the gospel in Fiji. They arrived on the island and they got eaten. Yeah, hectic. And now, if you watch Fiji, if you watch the Sevens rugby, the dudes who play the Sevens rugby, most of the guys are either Christians or at least they are. Have a form of godliness. I don't know if all of them are born again, but Christianity is the mainstay, religion of the islands, which is amazing. So 3 or 4 people paid a price with their lives, never ever saw the fruit of what they did, and now that island is saturated with the gospel. The challenge is that the stuff that we were teaching them, they've never heard in their lives. We were ministering to pastors who have been pastors since they were, some of them were saved out of whatever their households were involved in. Others have been in the church since growing up and now are in their 50s and never heard what you and I are living in today, elders, deacons, saints, part of an apostolic field, the stuff that we just, glibly sort of like, okay, well, that's cool. They have never heard and we're blown away. What a privilege. And to live in what we live in and have the revelation that we have, just even of church life. And we are so blessed. We're so blessed, in our partnerships of churches. We're so blessed to be able to come in here and feel like we're at home, feel like we're part of you and you're part of us. The victories you have are our victories. The victories we have are yours. And this wonderful thing of covenant relationships just being walked out between churches. It's a weird thing. Like, how does it happen? I mean, we're there in PE, but yet we feel the sense of oneness in the Lord, and it's just so precious. So let's never take it for granted, but always be grateful to the Lord. And keep your corner, man, or little brick in the wall, whatever you've got to build. Just keep doing that thing. You might feel like you're dying or feel like you're, like those missionaries arrived at that island going, you were here to share the gospel and their families might have gone, it was all in vain. But it wasn't in vain. You just keep going. And that's kind of the essence of what I'm teaching on this morning or encouraging you in this morning is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6, which is Paul's letter to the church in a city called Colossae. And I'll come in right here at verse 6. He says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And I'm going to be focusing on walk in Him. All right? And His encouragement to the church was, don't stop walking. Keep walking. Keep going. There's a lot of reasons why you could stop walking. But He's saying, keep on going. And He says, so as you receive Christ Jesus Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So I'm going to unpack a few keys of how to keep walking. And then he says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition and according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him, in Jesus, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. May the Lord bless that reading. So, back in 1993, I was in the Navy, and I actually went to Saldanha. We did our basic training there, ended up in Simonstown. And one of the things we used to do every single day is head to the parade ground, and you stand on the parade ground. There's about 30 of you, 32 of you in a squad, and you stand there, and you receive your instructions from a commander, and they arrange you from tallest to shortest. So I was one of the tallest guys. So the tallest are right at the end, and then you go down, and the other guys have people on their left and the right. But the tallest dude stand at the end of the squad, and you don't have anybody else on your one side. So you've always kind of got one side free. And then you receive your instructions, and you stand at attention. You know, the guy shouts out, "Squad to the left, turn," and then you turn, and then, you know, he's giving you instructions, left, forward march, left, right, or whatever, I can't remember. I've forgotten all the commands now. And then you start marching, and, you know, each instructor's got their own way of speaking or shouting, and you'll hear all sorts of different ways of shouting out commands, and the important thing is you got to obey those commands. And the thing is to, like, be in unity, to like be in step, and to do everything at in exactly the right time, to show like how disciplined you are as a unit and how obedient you are to different commands, etc., etc. And I remember, let's get back to the scripture. You know, that's actually what Paul is writing about here when he says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." That word "walk" is the word peripatio. It's the Greek word for be occupied with. It's not just so walk in him. As you receive Christ, he says, it's not just walk in him. He says, be occupied with him. It's peripatia. Be in full concentration. Like your whole mind must be consumed with what Jesus is telling you. And that's what happened. He says, so as you received Christ, when you first got saved, that's what happened. It's like, oh, Jesus is everything. You feel your sins have been washed, and you've been cleansed, you've been, you know, renewed, and your whole walk has begun with the Lord, and your mind is just occupied with the Lord all the time, right? You go home, your parents say, like, what's something happened to you? Your friends are like, what's different about you? Your work colleagues are like, what happened to you? And you're occupied with Jesus. You are fully engrossed. Your mind is blown. You recognize something's happened inside of you. You're a new creation. All is gone. You're coming. You're like, what the heck is going on here? I'm a new person. And that's actually what Paul is talking about. So walk in him. You need to be occupied with him. Fully, fully engrossed in the Lord. And the thing is, you know, there are a lot of things that can cut in on us. There's a lot of things that, you know, as we need to be occupied with the commanding voice that's telling us to go in a particular direction, there's a lot of distractions. And I remember the one particular day on the parade ground marching, and the thing is your boots are going on this hard gravel, so it makes a noise like as your boots are. Then there's a bit of wind blowing. And you got to concentrate because he's standing. He doesn't want to do all the walking, so he shouts at commands. You get further and further away from him, and you got to really tune your ear in because all you're hearing is. And then you just hear this command. It's like, okay. And you get to know your guy's voice. Okay, that's left turn. And then you just hear the shout. Score! Two! Right! I'm not joking. That's how some of the guys shout out commands. We had one guy who used to literally do this. He'd go, I'm not even joking. He wasn't our guy. We'd often like look at those guys and hose, like, and they would all know exactly what he's saying. was ridiculous. We think like that squad is, they all nuts. But one day we were marching, and our guy gave his command, and I was convinced. Now the thing is, anyway, he gave this command where you're walking three deep, and he said right turn, and I was convinced because he doesn't say right turn, he goes right, you know, and you're like, I knew it was left. So I turned left, and it was on the march. It wasn't sort of, anyway, and the thing is, you don't realize how fast you can separate from a squad when you're going one way and they're going another way. Every step you take and they take, you're 2 meters apart, you know, basically. And I was convinced, man. I was just walking. I'm like, oh, I don't see any arm next to me. And the is becoming quiet. I'm like, they're wrong. I know it was left. And eventually, after, you know, that stubborn feeling like, I am right. And eventually, I realized, how can I be the only guy that's right? And I was like, oh, this is a problem. And I just heard him screaming, Pereira! And I looked around, and there's my squad, a dust cloud, sort of in the distance, sprinted up to them. And of course, everybody else paid. I paid. We all had to get in trouble for that because I didn't listen properly. And the Christian faith is just like that. We can get distracted. I don't know where I lost concentration for a while. I don't know what I was thinking about, the blue skies. And, you know, because you get, you know, you're going to do this for a couple of hours. So your mind goes into a bit of a daze every now and again. And the same thing is with the faith, with our faith in the Lord. We can sometimes not, we can lose our occupation with the Lord Jesus. We can get distracted. And Paul, this letter is about that. He ends up saying, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy. There's philosophy out there, right? The theory, philosophy is what? It's a theory that acts as a guiding principle for life. So, you know, for example, there's a philosophy about sleeping together. Well, you know, check out your compatibility before you get married. I mean, that's a philosophy. It's a guiding principle about life that the world has. And we can, you know, lose our occupation with Jesus, which is, no, you don't sleep with someone before you get married. You honor the marriage bed and you don't defile it, right? But you can get occupied with a world teaching, a philosophy. He says, don't let anyone take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. He talks about, he says, according to human tradition. There's also human traditions that are all around us, and they play themselves out in television adverts. They play themselves out on the television, especially on the series that we watch, etc., etc. And this human tradition can so easily, while we're trying to walk for the Lord, next minute you're watching more and more series and this and that, next thing, and suddenly you're not occupied with Jesus anymore. You've been invaded. You've actually been taken captive by something else, you know, by human tradition. Even, for example, the status of buying a motor car. So suddenly you get a big, good salary and you're like, whoa, I can get that car that I always wanted. And boom, you go off and buy that brand new vehicle on the balloon payments. Haven't done any research on it, but you're driving a cool car. I know somebody who, a while back, in fact, not a guy in our church, but he was talking about some work colleagues, who they made an announcement at work that you're all going to get raises and increases because the company's doing so well. So they said the increases are coming in next month or like in 2 months' time. We're going to get a massive increase. It wasn't like a 10% or 7-10%. It was like 20-25%. The guy went out immediately and bought himself a brand new, like whatever it was, really expensive vehicle. And guess what? In that month, just before the increases came, the company had a huge dip and they... And the increases didn't come. And now he was in a pickle because he's committed to a 5-year car payment and suddenly he might have to sell his house or he loses on the car. What was he doing? He had been taken captive by a human tradition. By a human tradition of status tied up in a car. You know, or of a something, you know, a desire that will fulfill something in me. And instead of being wise, you know, and waiting till the increase comes, he commits to something that he cannot afford. And we can easily end up doing that even as Christians. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by human tradition. And then he says, what's interesting here as well, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. That empty deceit is also plausible arguments. The world has a lot of plausible arguments. There's even plausible arguments. Well, they would seem plausible. It would seem plausible that all roads lead to the Lord. All roads lead to God. You know, Muslim, or whether you're Hindu. Now, let me assure you, each of those faiths is completely different to Christianity. And Jesus did not give room or space in our belief for any other way to God. And he's seated that you don't become captive to a plausible argument. Well, at the end of the day, they're all talking about God. And if their values are kind of morally good, then surely we'll all end up in the same place. No. God sent his son Jesus into the world to die for our sins, to die for the sins of the world, that whoever might believe in him will have eternal life. So see to it that while you're marching for the Lord, you don't get caught by a plausible argument. You need to investigate that plausible argument, weigh it up according to the scriptures and according to the historical person of Jesus Christ, and look at his claims and statements, and then get sense into your head. And if you've turned left and going further away from the group, you need to get back. You need to get back to that group as soon as possible. And it happens to anybody. All right? It can happen to anybody. Even human tradition could be the need for acceptance on Facebook or Instagram and how many likes you got, and constantly checking as to how many likes. And it feeds something in us. You know? Don't be taken captive by those things. You know, make sure that you're not taken by the elemental spirits. You know what an elemental spirit is? It's a spirit of firsts. It's whatever takes an elemental spirit is whatever the world takes its cue from first. That's an elemental spirit. So a spirit that looks to take, as I've said already, Facebook, Instagram type of stuff. It takes something of a value from that thing. It's an elemental spirit. It takes, my value comes from that thing first. It says, no, be careful you don't get deceived. Get taken captive by an elemental spirit. Okay. Good. All right. So, and this is one of the devil's, these are some of the devil's tactics, right? He can take us captive through philosophy, through plausible arguments, according to human tradition, and the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So, how do we keep occupied with Christ? How do we keep in the squad? How do you keep from sticking with what the truth is? All right, and that's what we're going to unpack a little bit quickly today. So, he says, because you must be rooted and built up in Jesus, established in the faith. And I want to say, guys, again, even for me, in the last, we've been doing some renovations on our home in the last 6 weeks. And I must be honest, it's really occupied me. Oh, my word. You know, because it's like you have a budget, and I knew. I've been around for a while. I'm 44 years old. We've done renovations on the church, on our house before. And I knew I'm going to double the budget already. Because, I mean, that's how it goes. So I doubled it and still went over that. I'm like, what on earth? Like sitting at night going, how can I reduce this damage going on here? You know, and it's been occupying my mind, right? We can all, it's so easy to just get occupied. And the Lord wants us to make sure we're not taken captive and we bring those things to him. Amen. So I'm just like you guys, right? We can all, and you're like, and you know what? I kept my time with the Lord. I've kept my time with God. I've been spending time with the Lord. But yeah, it's so difficult sometimes to just free our minds. Like, oh Lord, I'm yet to just devote this time to you. And your mind's going, oh, what? But we need to make sure that we're constantly coming, being rooted, built up in Jesus, established in the faith. So how do we do this? Well, here's the answer in verse 6 and verse 7. He says, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, and there's one word there, received. I'm going to look at a couple, but received. How did we come to faith in Christ? You believed and you received. You didn't work your faith up. You didn't have to spend 10 hours in prayer, 40 days fasting. You didn't have to read through the whole Bible before you came to Christ. What you had to do is to believe and receive. Oh, that's a good word. You see, all you had to do is actually come by faith in Christ and go, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that my right standing before you, Lord, is by nothing that I've done, but by everything that you have done. I thank you that your love for me isn't conditional on what I have done or haven't done, Lord. It's based on my faith, as I place my faith in you. See, the word says, whoever believes in him and receives him, he is given the right to become his child. And so when you find yourself occupied and moving away from the crowd, how do you get back? Because honestly, I'm just being vulnerable with you. For the last 4 weeks, I've been very occupied. But if I spend my time occupying myself with how I need to get back through a whole lot of hoops and a whole lot of hurdles, I'm potentially being taken captive by a whole lot of other things. I just got to go back to, how did I receive the Lord Jesus as Lord? I received him by faith in him and his intrinsic goodness, and that caused me to worship him. See, the devil will come and say, no, look, you must, look, and there is a reality. Sometimes we've walked away and there's a way back because we've been so occupied. Because that occupation isn't sometimes just a number of numbers on a calculator. Sometimes we've got involved in stuff that really has messed our heads up. And we need a bit of there's a journey back of confession, repentance, and naming certain things. Amen? But it's always by faith in him that we receive that grace and that forgiveness. See, the enemy will come and want to put pride in your heart. Well, and so he comes and he'll go, well, you haven't done much. He'll either put condemnation on you, or you'll put indifference in you, or a sense of pride, look how much I've done. So condemnation, like you haven't done enough, and so you just have to do more. Indifference, well, it doesn't really matter what I've done, the fact that I've been occupied, so I'm not really going to, it's not necessary, I'm fine now. And God wants us to name what's just happened. Or it can be a sense of, well, I've done all this good stuff. Now God's received me because I've back in the good trajectory. I've spent enough time in prayer. I've been enough times to church. I've read my Bible enough. I've been prayed for enough. So therefore, and God's saying, no, it's Jesus. Just as you received Christ Jesus, just as you received him, so continue to walk in him. So be occupied with him. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, so that no one can boast. It is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. So that's what you go. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. Amen. Not by your own observances, but by grace. But by grace. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. There we go. What is it? It's a gift. It's a gift. You don't work for a gift. You just receive that gift. The word talks about being good receivers of the grace of God. Being good receivers of the mercy of God. Amen. Come on. If you find yourself occupied, just get back to Jesus. Just come back. One of our friends used to say, you want to get into the presence of God? Just go. But with faith. What are you breathing in? I breathe in your mercy, Lord. I breathe in your grace. That's how you received him. When you heard the good news that he loved you, you just went, I receive it. And you received in a moment the favor of God. And you keep that, friends. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus. Friends, I remember Andrew once was preaching at Oxygen and he said, guys, do you realize we're all just a bunch of losers? You know, as Andrew says from time to time. And I remember sitting in my seat going, I'm not a loser. It was my thought. I just thought, I mean, I didn't say it like this. You know, we know how to hide it, right? I'm like, I'm not a loser. You might be a loser, but I'm not a loser. I mean, not that I thought that, but I was like, I'm not a loser. And the Holy Spirit just convicted me. He said, why aren't you a loser? Oh, because I'm the head and not the tail. You know what I mean? I'm like loved in Christ. I am God's chosen before creation. He chose me. And that's all true. But did I deserve it? No ways. I never deserved it. He chose me before creation. You know, he predestined me to know him out of no goodness of my own. I fell into his kindness by his love. And so how much more not then does Paul says, for while we were still sinners, Christ loved us. What about now? He says, no, if he loved us before that, how much more not now? So often we like thinking we've done this thing in our own good, by our own goodness. No, we need, I remember I was discipling a new believer to the Lord, well, in the Lord about 3-4 years ago. No, two years ago, Christian. This guy sat in our flat at the back of our house, and we led him to the Lord, him and his wife. And so I was discipling him, sitting on my deck, and we were going through our discipleship manual, which is the purple book thing. Anyway, we get to the part of Adam's sin. Now, he doesn't know anything. This guy is like, he knows nothing about church and Jesus and Christianity and stuff, or very, very little. So we sit there, and we go like through Genesis, and the question is, if you were Adam, do you think you also would have sinned? And honestly, I'll be honest with you, my first answer was like, because I had to do it before seeing him. So I actually had a process. I was like, I don't know, Adam had all the glory. Adam had God around him. He walked with God. I mean, he was perfect. He had everything like you can think of. So like, why did he do it? I don't know. And when I read the question, my mind was like, I don't know. I don't know if I would have said. And then I had to think, the Holy Spirit reminded me, you're a loser. See, and I'll be honest with you, I've got saved at 13 years old. I've been born into a home with parents that love the Lord. I've got a stable upbringing. I know the love of God. My parents love me. My parents think the world of me. They've built me up. The Lord often has to remind me, Bruce, you're a loser. You don't deserve me. And so I honestly, okay, praise God, I have good theology and stuff. I was like, whoa, okay, Brad, no, you would have done it. You would have done it. If you think that you wouldn't have done it, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. You would have done it. I told this guy, Christian, I was like, Christian, we got to that part. I was waiting to check his answer. I thought, yeah, let's see if he's like me. I was like, so the question is, so if you were Adam, do you think you would have sinned? Christian said, oh, yeah, for absolutely. I was like, oh, this guy's more holy than me. He's like, he's Afrikaans. Oh, yeah, ek sal definitief gedoen het. Ek sal gedoen het. And he went on about how bad he is. And like, he would have dipped. I was like, oh, Lord, please help me. Please help me. Oh, man. But then you get other guys, so you get some who just know they're losers, right? And then there's others that think they're getting there by themselves. So you get others that just keep thinking they're losers. They need God to lift them in by His grace. You get others who think like, they say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like the tax collector over there who did all those terrible things. Here I am in your presence. God's going, no, I'm going to choose a tax collector. See to it that no one takes you captive. If you're going to stay in the Lord, if you're going to stay walking, stay in His grace. As you received Him, you never deserved Him. You never deserved Him. If you're going to stay occupied with the Lord, stay occupied with the goodness in Him, not in you. And when I say that, because you can also be, as I've been saying, you can become occupied in the badness in you too. The fact that you're just never getting it right. No, stay occupied with Him. He's always getting it right. He's got it right. He's perfect. And He's made you perfect in Him. He's included you in Him. But it's Him. Amen? So get free of whatever you've come under. Get free if you've become occupied with yourself, whether that's in pride or in condemnation. Get free and come into Christ as you received Him this morning. Amen? And then he says, so therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, and then he goes, this is another way that you can live free. He says, as Lord. So it's not just how you receive Christ. He says, as Lord, when you first came to Him, He was Lord. Right? You did what He told you to do. He said left, you went yes. He said about turn, you did it. And He's saying, just as when you received Him, He was your Lord. And that word Lord is kyrios. It actually means master and commander. It's like master and commander. This is like, you know, the head of the army. He is, you know, that red button in the movies, like that they all wait and just phone like President One or whatever, you know. Like you can't press this button until we hear from there. He's the one who has the power to, you can't, you know, he's Kyrios. So if you want to continue in the Lord, be occupied with him. Be occupied with him being Lord. Be occupied with him being your master. As we heard last night at the gathering, that the Lord's love language is obedience. He's looking for our obedience. He's looking for us to trust and obey him. 1 John 2 verses 6 says, this is how we know we abide in Jesus. It's if we walk as Jesus did. It's if we walk as he walked. You know, Paul writes in Galatians, he says, do not use your freedom to indulge in sin. So the freedom you have, the fact that you've just received love and forgiveness, do not use that freedom to just do as you please. You use that freedom to walk as the Lord has called you to walk. Come on. Man. I mean, we've got there's some people that are very, very close to us at the moment. They know they're free. They've experienced the grace, the love of God, actually, just like that lady you shared this morning about that physical healing. What an amazing story. But how's this? This is the thing. You can where is that person? Thank you. What is your name?
Sorry?
Sandisiwe. What's for short? Sunday. Okay. Oh. You know, thank you for the testimony. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. I mean, that testimony stirred my faith up so much this morning. The crazy thing is, the Lord set you free, healed you, but you can still, in a month's time, just forget about God. It's crazy how the Lord does it. We've got a couple, the lady's been healed in like this, a story like yours, just an incredible healing. But right now, when it comes to remaining in the faith by remaining in the church, in church life, God is not Lord of their lives. So I know right now that her and her husband love the Lord, but we haven't seen them in church for a year, nearly. Because why? Well, they can definitely say we believe in what we've received in the Lord Jesus. But is he your Lord? Like, is he your master? Because when it comes to church life, you've just completely removed yourself out of the body of believers. He's actually, I fear for where they are right now because they've walked so far away from the squad. Even though they've experienced a divine healing in their lives, they're so far away from the squad. But he's not Lord over their lives when it comes to let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Friends, just because God's healed you and done an amazing thing, and by his grace you've received that healing, you still have to live with him as Lord of your life. You still have to keep yourself in the faith as you were taught. And with him as Lord. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are, what's going on around you, because you might have the healing today, and praise God for that, but in a month or two, there might be a great big trial that comes your way. And that's where it's not, do you serve the Lord because of what you've received? Or do you serve the Lord because of who he is? And it's not about serving the Lord. Praise God for what you've received, because it's built us all up in the faith. And may you share that testimony far and wide and boldly and with being uninhibited and reckless abandon. And may God use your testimony to stir up faith in others. And may many be healed through your faith that you have in the Lord. I stood up because I got tinnitus. You know what that is? Ringing in my ears. I'm like, Lord, today is my day for healing. I'm like, shh. I stand up all the time for prayer for healing because I've got ringing in my ears. I don't know what it's from. Loud music, guns, I don't know. From the Navy, I don't know. I don't shoot with guns anymore now, by the way, but maybe from back then. But yeah, how do we continue? How do we be rooted, built up, and established in the faith? How it's in how we received him and then walking with him as Lord in our lives. Amen. Amen. Paul in Romans 6 says, but thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. So we've got to obey from our hearts, man. It's not just about the receiving, but about the obedience. Colossians 3, he goes on to say, if you have been raised with Christ, Colossians 3:1, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not the things on the earth. And then he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he says, but you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Yeah. Do not lie to one another. That can happen in the body. He says, but put it off and put on the new self. He goes on to say, put on in verse 12, then as God's chosen, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's the obedience part. That's as Lord. Guess what? I don't always want to love you. Especially when you've just offended me. But I have to put off my old self, put on my new self, clothe myself with compassion, clothe myself with humility, clothe myself with love, and continue to love you and be obedient because he's my Lord. Because he says, why do you forgive others? Because he's first forgiven you. That's the obedience part. That's the putting to death part. He's already done it for us, man. Amen. So, how do you keep walking? Just as you received him. It's grace walk. As Lord, is your Lord. He says, so be occupied with him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. That's the next one. Just as you were taught. Guys, most of what I'm going to say is speaking to the converted. We're in a church where discipleship is esteemed and held high as a high priority because Jesus said, go and make disciples, right? But just as you were taught, if you want to keep occupied with the Lord, you need to be being discipled and making disciples. You need to be have a heart that's saying, yes, my life, Lord. Yes, my life. And yes, my life to your friends. After this message, I will say to Ryan, the elders, guys, how did you feel my message was? Was it taking too long? Was it okay? Did I say something that offensive to the congregation? Could I have done something better? Because as I was taught, I'm a man under submission too. I come here to bring a word, but I also come under the authority. And so we bring our lives to one another. As you were taught, there's a relationship we've come into. When you came to Christ, you came to him, you know, through somebody else preaching the word. Or, like with one Nigerian dude, his name's Cliff, he came to the Lord because he was high on drugs and Jesus like basically rocked up and he had the absolute fear of death and the Lord came in the form of a light, etc. And he realized he has to run to Jesus and he had some Christian friends he had played soccer with. There were some of us at Oxygen Life Church. And when he woke up in the morning from his like night of drugs and hallucinations and everything else, he knew he has to come to church. So how did he come to the Lord? Well, Jesus appeared to him. But then he came at the end of the meeting, walking through the aisle, came to the front and he came to me. And he just said, I've done a lot of bad things. So a black Rastafarian, who generally, you know, he'll tell you now, actually didn't like whites at all. He had a lot of antagonistic and thoughts towards white people. Comes to a white guy who's played soccer with, but he knows he's got to meet Jesus. He said, I've done a lot of bad things. Can the Lord forgive me? I said, absolutely the Lord can forgive you. And now he has the word through me, and he brings his life under, in a sense, our authority, and gets discipled. And now he's coming through, man. The last 2 years he's been saved, growing in his faith, beginning to disciple others. As you were taught, he's under authority in a home group, coming through in the Lord. He shared his testimony far and wide, lost all his friends as a result, picked up a whole lot of new ones in the church family on the way. It's far away from home. He stands up in church the other day and says, I don't have any of my family in the city, but I've got my family right around me. And if you're going to stay occupied in the Lord, if you're going to keep walking with the crew, you know, be occupied with as you were taught. You've got to be Walk in your faith in connection with others. Don't be even like my friends right now who have walked away from the church trying to do this thing in their own strength. Come on. Okay. And then lastly, so be in those, submit yourselves. Give your life one to another. All right. And lastly, he says here, just as you were taught, and then he says, I'm going to read it again because I want us to know the scripture. I learned the scripture off by heart when I was at school, all right, in grade 11, somewhere around there. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in him, rooted and established in your faith. Okay? And then he says, built up? Rooted and built up. The ESV says built up and established. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I want to say to you all today again, that thanksgiving is the fruit of our heart that's linked in with the Lord, man. It's a fruit of lips of those who know his name. And you got to keep praising. You got to keep worshiping the Lord. You got to keep his praise coming from your lips. Romans chapter 1 says this, that those who don't worship the Lord, those who don't worship him as God, it's, look here, in Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we stop praising God, when we stop giving thanks, and that's what Paul says, abounding thanksgiving. When we stop giving thanks to the Lord in worship, friends, our thinking becomes futile. It's like, what is life? What is life really about? But that abounding, it's like futility. Our thinking can actually just become like, what's the point? But worship is that fruit from a heart that recognizes that all we have is from the Lord. That nothing we have has not come through him. Every good thing is from his hand. And celebrating the fact that in this place we have energy in our bodies. You might be here today and inside, you feel like you don't have strength anymore. Well, you had strength to walk in here. You had strength to actually, you can think. You've just put a thought together. Even your thought of being able to say, I don't have strength. Praise God, you've got a lucid mind. You're able to, you might go, it doesn't feel much lucid beyond that thought. But say, thank you, Lord, that I have a thought. Just start to shift that thinking in you. The word says we're transformed, friends, by the renewing of our minds. And part of the renewal, mind renewal in God begins with thanksgiving. And you can find yourself like occupied with so many things, then find yourself occupied with thanksgiving. Come on. Just as you received Christ, you received him with thanksgiving in your hearts. Continue on in him with thanksgiving. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, let's go there and we'll begin to land this thing. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. It's amazing. He's saying that rejoicing is to be reasonable. It's to have like a reasonable mind is to rejoice. I mean, how does that work when everything around you is just falling to pieces? Why? Because by rejoicing, you're saying that no matter what is going on around me, my God is God. He's not God based on what the good I experience or the bad I experience. He's God because he's God. He's not God because everything's going right. He's God because he was there before creation and he will be there afterwards. And my reasonableness is presenting itself to others when I rejoice in the face of everything. When you stop rejoicing, you've stopped being reasonable. How's that? When you stop, because your reason says, if God made the whole universe, it's still stretching out. They say the universe is expanding at the speed of light. That's what they're saying, apparently. So God's like, let there be light. And the universe is just continually expanding. So that means that when I bring my prayers and requests to the Lord, Peter says, do not be anxious about anything. He says, for he cares for you. Who cares for you? Who? Who really? Who's your daddy? Who is your dad? And look, I'm saying this all boldness. There's times we just don't feel this, right? There's times we're like, where the heck is my dad? But we have to bring our minds back into reason and say, hang on a second, if my dad is the king of the whole world and my dad is the king of me, you know that song we sing in Sunday school? Then we've got to bring our reason, which sometimes flies out the window because you're like, this doesn't seem like anything is going right. When we stop giving thanks, we have moved away from, in a sense, a body of doctrine, a body of belief in God, and we are walking out there on our own, and eventually you're going to hear your own feet. And you're all on your own. And today I want to say, God is calling you back. Come and worship me. Come and rejoice in me. Always. Come and rejoice in me always. And so you get Paul and Silas in the prison. They had been flogged, by the way. So their backs are bleeding. Their bones are hurting. And Paul and Silas lift up in Acts chapter 16, I think it is. They lift up praise to the Lord. And the singing goes throughout the dungeons. And an angel of the Lord comes and busts open the prison doors. Friends, some of you are walking out there and you're going, how on earth did I end up so far away from everything and how on earth do I get back? Well, come back by receiving. Come back by calling him Lord. Saying, I'm going to obey, Lord. Come back. What was the other ones? Getting my own point. As you were taught, come back into the body and come back with rejoicing. By faith. By faith, and this is who you are. Miracle worker, way maker. This is who you are. This is who you are. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to state it. I'm going to sing it. And watch what the Lord will do. Watch what God will do. Psalm 51 verses 23 says this in closing. It says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. You order your way rightly when you start to rejoice, friend. And you watch the Lord show his salvation to you. Have you ever heard of Richard Wurmbrand? He was a preacher of the gospel in communist bloc Russia and those communist type countries. And he was put in prison just for declaring Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the only way to God. And he was thrown in prison. I think he was in prison for 12 or 15 odd years. And the prisons that they were thrown in were painted gray and had no windows. So they were underground. You wore gray clothes. The prison guards wore gray because they wanted to mess your mind up completely. Because they didn't want you to see color, because they didn't want to give you any joyful experience of life. You may, when you look around and see about a color, praise God for color. Here we go, look at my... Praise God that you can see different colors. They just had gray all around them. And they would... If you hear his testimonies on YouTube, Richard Wurmbrand is a safe guy to go listen to. Most of the time as he's sharing, he's smiling. And he says, I don't want to share about what happened to us in the prisons. And then he goes on to say things like, little thing, he says, because I don't want to glorify what happened in prison. Jesus was with us every day. Even though he says the teeth that you see in this YouTube clip, or he doesn't say YouTube clip, the teeth that you see are not my teeth. They got knocked out within the first month or two of prison. He said none of the Christian prisoners had their teeth in them. Had their teeth to show at the end of the prison sentences. They knocked all the teeth out. He says, these are not my teeth. He said, but we'd be in that prison and we'd worship the Lord. In our solitary confinement, you'd hear the other Christians worshiping the Lord. And he said, there were days where our prison, gray prison walls would turn like the colors of rainbow. and God would let us see color. He said, where the whole wall would just become these colors, and we would know God is with us. Didn't happen every day, he said, but it would happen. And God would just give us faith to carry on. Friend, you might feel like your walls are gray right now. Rejoice. Abound in thanksgiving. Abound. You might not see the color right now. You might not see the rainbows and the what. But let your reasonableness be made known to the principalities and powers. Let it be known to the enemy that our God rules. Our God reigns. He's in charge. And if the enemy's taken you captive today, you can walk free. By just saying yes to all these charges and encouragements in the Word. Can we pray together? Thank you, Lord.